Welcome back to Stories of Runeterra. My name is Guy Black, or Ravenhood on the interwebs, and I'm just a humble storyteller here to draw you into the vast world of Runeterra by Riot Games. We're back, folks. Thanks for my little break. School ended out well. Everything got together and everything was wonderful, and now I am on summer break. The Riot Games community has crafted an incredible universe where we throw down with the bananas. Yes, that is bananas, in fact. Each week, we jump into the Riot Games universe and narrate something from the world of Runeterra off of the Riot Games universe site. Think of this whole deal as a massive project audiobook by yours truly of League stories and lore. This week's story, if you haven't already been hit by the banana, is Soraka, the Star Child. And now for my terrible impression. Two paths lie before you, but only you can take one. A wanderer from the celestial realm, Soraka gave up her immortal form to protect the mortal races from their own ignorance and violent instincts. She endeavors to spread the virtues of compassion and mercy to everyone she meets, guiding the lost and healing the wounded. For all Soraka has seen of this world's struggles, she still believes the people of Runeterra have yet to reach their full potential. An age ago, when time itself was young, the inhabitants of the celestial realm regarded the fledgling races of Runeterra with growing concern. These creatures deviated wildly, unpredictably, and dangerously from the great designs intended for them by those above. The guidance and fates that would have been woven into the night sky went unseen, or worse, were misinterpreted by their simple mortal minds, leading to chaos, uncertainty, and suffering. No longer able to merely watch, one celestial being chose to descend to the mortal realm, determined to untangle the knots in the tapestry of the world. This child of the stars took on a form of flesh and blood, and though the powerful magic coursing through her veins burned this new body from the inside out, she knew her suffering meant little if she could help to heal all that was broken and incomplete. And so, Soraka came to be, and set upon her journey to soothe the mortals she encountered. Even so, she quickly learned the capacity for cruelty that the peoples of Runeterra possessed, whether on the battlefields of inescapable conflicts, in the seedy underbellies of sprawling cities, or on the frontiers of the untamed wilderness beyond them. There seemed to be no end to the fighting, betrayal, and suffering Soraka witnessed. She watched, helpless, as mortals ignorantly broke the threads of destiny they could have woven together. Their lives were too short, she reasoned. They were simply unable to see the greater patterns now lost. But as Soraka lived among them, as one of them, trying to repair what little of the damage she could, something incredible and wholly unforeseen happened. From the snarls and tangles and knots, the messy breaks in the great patterns, Soraka noticed a new, unintended design emerging, intertwined, and of a staggering complexity. Unintended and wild, the mortals were forging new and unknown futures for themselves. From the celestial realm above, it had seemed like pure chaos, but with her new perspective, and blessed by the stars to stand against the erosion of time, Soraka now beheld an almost perfect beauty. Just as mortals had the deepest capacity for cruelty, so too did they possess infinite potential for kindness, an inspiration to rival anything among the stars. Soraka realized her place was not to repair or replicate the celestial pattern. While a part of her craved the fixed, comforting destinies of the stars, she knew in her heart that static fates could not contain the unbridled, dynamic potential of mortality. And so, her work took on renewed vigor, driven to unlock the untapped possibilities of all she met. Soraka sought now to inspire and guide rather than shepherd, to see what unblazed trails each mortal would discover for themselves in their brief, radiant moment. Over the millennia, legends of the Star Child have filtered through all the lands of Runeterra. Some tribes of the Freljord still speak of a far wanderer, a horned healer who soothed the icy bite of the most brutal winters. In the depths beneath Zaun, rumors float of a lilac-skinned medic who would purify weary lungs from the ravages of the alchemical gray. In troubled Ionia, the oldest myths of the Vastaya Sharae recall a seer who communed with the stars themselves and called upon their light to both heal the wounded and scorch those who would do further harm to the First Lands. Currently, Soraka calls the westernmost peaks of Targon her home. She watches over the isolated tribe of Vastaya, teaching them her healing ways, and tending quietly to her own needs. Though what brings her so close to the Great Mountain, or how long she will stay, only Soraka knows. Many times, she has watched entire civilizations dance close to the brink of destruction, and she has learned that she cannot save those who do not wish it, nor force them to see they will not. All the same, Soraka is determined never to stop trying. Today's story is entitled Halfway Between the Stars and Earth, and it's written by Katie Kyroness. It was a perfectly good night for a cup of tea. Chilly, certainly, but clear. As crisp a night as frigid Mount Targon ever got, really. Soraka was expecting a visitor. The snow in the stone kettle had already begun to melt over the hearth at the center of her little yurt. As it grew warmer, the room was suffused with the smell of dried tea leaves and sparse mountain herbs. She crossed the room, passing the shelf she'd built herself along the back wall. Like the rest of her home, it was ever so slightly crooked. As far as mortal skills went, carpentry was not her strong suit. But she had built it because she loved the keepsakes on the shelf. A willow wreath from Omikayelan, a tiny golden acorn from a dear friend in Bandle City, and the oldest of all, surely older than anything mortal, was a stone dog from the old days of Nasharame. She owed that city another visit. She hadn't been back in centuries, and she had a fondness for its people. But she was shaken from her reverie as the commotion started outside, shouting, barking, precisely on time. In the darkness, a pack of wolves surrounded a huddled lump in the snow. She strode out into the night, drawing her shoulders back, her head high. The moon was out and appeared slightly too large, as it often seemed to on Targon. Her home, nestled partway up the peak, was framed to the east by craggy flats and to the west by a sheer drop into the mist far below. A constant frigid wind battered everything westward. It wasn't uncommon for wild creatures to be battered on their way across the flats, too, but it was rare that they found prey. The wolves turned to snarl at her, half illuminated in the yellow light from the yurt's windows. Meanwhile, the lump rolled over. It was a girl. Frightened eyes stared back at Soraka, a wooden spear clutched between two shaking hands. Only one thing brought people to this remote cliffside on the approach to the Holy Mount. But they were never this young. The wolves lunged for Soraka in union. She heard the stars cry out her defense. Sparks trickled from her fingertips as she rained golden fire down on the pack. The slam of impact sent most of the wolves skittering back with primal fear, but one of them was left behind, its hindquarters crushed beneath the weight of the dying embers. It moaned and rasped, struggling. She saw the remainder of the pack disappearing over the icy barrens, abandoning their fellow to his fate. Soraka shook her head and instantly knelt in the singed snow, her hands already outstretched. She couldn't bear to feel the poor thing's pain. It tugged at her. As she laid her hands along its bloodied back haunches, it snarled, digging its teeth into her arm. Ouch! Mortality had its drawbacks.
Stop! The girl cried. It'll kill you!
Soraka felt her face melting into a smile.
I'm not afraid of wolves, she replied, as light spread down her arms into the wolf's mangled body. Besides, she added, Targon belongs to him as much as to me.
The creature's flesh began to knit back together, the crushed bones becoming whole once more. The clay, taking proper shape in an artisan's hands, was the analogy, but the magic burned as it left her. She closed her eyes and lost herself in the pain for a moment. When she opened them, the wolf had retreated. Only the girl remained. Her eyes flicked upwards, tracing the line of Soraka's horn, and Soraka already knew what she was thinking.
Are you one of those things?
One of what?
Demons. I've heard...
Soraka laughed. But before she could respond, the girl sagged weakly, the spear tip dropping. It was only then, her mind clearing, that Soraka finally felt the enormity of the girl's own pain. Her arms were black all the way to the elbows. Her fingers were frozen to the spear, the flesh swollen red above that. Frostbite like this? She'd be dead soon. When she laid her hands upon the girl's arms, the girl flinched. Soraka was worried. Humans were curious creatures when it came to healing. Their minds were intricate. It had to be a mutual agreement. They had to want to heal. Sometimes she'd get the tendrils of her magic deep into a wound and find that the mind pushed her right back out again. But not here. The girl was... too tired, all vestiges of her energy spent getting her this far up the mountain. Soraka flooded the dead flesh with all the power she could give, pushing through the pain. Coils of emerald light wound their way up the girl's arms. The spear dropped to the ground. As Soraka worked, she watched the skin fade through black, red, and purple to its proper dusky color. There. That should do it.
Do I seem like a demon to you?
Soraka asked. Her gold eyes glimmered in the darkness. The girl was silent. After a moment, Soraka pressed her.
You're making the summit climb.
Why? But the girl just looked away, ashamed, rubbing her newly restored arms. My family, she blurted, shaking head. We're warriors, and my mother, she's the strongest of all. You don't know what it's like to be the only one who can't fight, to be... She bit her lip, struggling to find the word. Weak. Soraka swept a hand out towards the dirt path the girl had followed, the one which led all the way to Targon's base.
You came this far. And you still think yourself weak?
Well, I won't be soon, the girl replied, her hands balling into fists now. Not when I reach the summit. I'll walk off the final peak and right into the sky, just like the old stories, and then they'll be forced to accept that I'm strong. No one made of the stars could ever be brought low.
If only that were true, Soraka said, flashing an all-too-sharp grin.
She scarcely caught the girl's face breaking out in stunned amazement as she turned, walking to the edge of the path. Above them, the stars spread out across the inky sky, brighter than they were anywhere else in the world. They sang songs only she could hear. This was home to her. Hadn't always been, but it was the home she'd made.
Come,
Soraka beckoned. And she raised her hand, trailing her fingers across the heavens. As she did, she knit the clouds and mist into shapes which wound their way against the moon and became faces the girl would no doubt have recognized from stories. a young woman with pale hair. Her counterpart, a woman whose face burned as brightly as the sun, and a warrior with a spear not unlike the girl's own. All of these mortals ascended to the peak, but they had chosen that path with all their soul. She turned to the girl and spoke slowly, taking no delight in her words. You have not truly chosen the mountain, and Targon will not choose you. You would walk to your death. Don't do this. The girl turned away. She was silent for a long time.
Where then?
She asked at last, her voice rough.
I can't go home. And I can't go back to them. Where else would I go?
Soraka smiled. The world is vast. Your paths are many. I can help, if you let me. The images in the moon had faded. Soraka motioned to the cheerful yellow yurt nestled among the rocks nearby. But first, better come on inside and get warm. No sense in starting back until dawn comes. Besides, I've got a kettle on. Perfectly good night for a cup of tea.
Well, I'm back, folks. Thanks again so much for listening to Stories of Runeterra. I'm going to be back on my regular schedule. Just had to get the school year ended out. I love stories like Soraka. This one's a little bit more in-depth than like Rammus or Amumu, but this idea of a entity who has persisted through time and is seen in different ways by the different mythologies and folk tales of different cultures, really super cool. So it's good to be back to see you all again, or I guess I don't really see you, but to be doing it, like, I don't know, mate. It's just, you know, this is a thing, and it's great to be back. So thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Again, if you have requests or champion that you want me to read, hit me up at storiesofruneterrapodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram or Twitter, though I'm not on social media a ton. So I will check regularly now that I'm back on schedule. Thanks. Bye, y'all.